2 days before Valentine's Day.
2 days before Valentine's Day. How are we doing before Valentine's Day?
Feel kind of romantic, so.
Don't look at me. You look the other way. Keep your hands on the table.
Fair enough.
Okay.
So, did we do anything last week? Musical game?
Tell them about your NVIDIA card power.
Well, I was trying to reduce the amount of electricity my computer uses.
Oh, you Scrooge.
He's one guy with a good reason to do that.
Yeah, so I don't know, just playing around with that. What else? I did something on the computer worthwhile. I don't care what it was.
He was open sourcing more movies.
No, I don't think I did any of that this week.
Good.
Well, maybe I'll remember.
See, morale in this group is just going higher and higher. I think we are getting brownie points.
Maybe.
Just be a fluke.
How about you? New homeowner?
Not yet.
Did you at least have a training in shoveling this up?
What? You don't know me yet, do you?
No. Well, you know, you need to have a training.
When's the big date? The closing?
March 6th.
So you don't need to complete it, so it's going to be nice.
No, it's going to be all nice. Won't have to worry about it.
And March is never going to be.
Yeah. You need to have a training while mowing the grass.
That's okay. I know how to do that. So.
Nah, you'll probably figure it out.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. Other than that, I haven't really done too much. I've been kind of busy with house, wedding, and work. All those three things going together, and yeah.
Yep, now I'll throw a couple kids in there, and you'll really be busy.
I'm hoping these three things are going to go away.
The work?
The work, maybe not completely, but at least a little bit.
Yeah, the host will always be there needing someday, thing or another.
Actually, you know, when you're talking about work, it looks pretty dismal, actually, outside. You know, if it doesn't look that good.
You mean the weather or the economy?
No, the economy. And, you have a company getting rid of 10,000 people, and
if you got a job, be thankful.
Well, I think saying it doesn't look good is the understatement of for a while.
Well, what's really bad is, I mean, it doesn't look good, and it doesn't look like there's an end yet in sight. That's the scary part, I think.
It's pretty bad.
Things aren't like going like this yet with no.
And you know, some people are claiming that first the housing has to be corrected. And I'm saying, well, if you have overstock inventory of houses, you don't use houses like your shoes, you know. I mean, the housing stays there for years and years and years. So if you overbuild your inventory.
Well, see, that's the European perspective. But, you know, with the way we've been running the economy for the 20 years, people have been flipping houses to make a profit. And see, it's a completely different perspective on what owning a house, and it's a wrong one, I think.
There's nothing really wrong with the house economy. It's just that the houses were overpriced for so long, and now it's finally catching up.
Right.
Now the houses are priced above what they should be, and everybody says, oh, it's a recession.
And everybody actually, you know, there you have 20% of empty houses there, but everybody has a place left to live.
Yeah, so where do these people go live?
Yeah.
Down by the river, it must be just crowded as all
there's
that.
There's nobody there. So they are living somewhere.
Well, I don't know. You haven't been to some of the cities I've been to. There's a lot of people living on the street.
Yeah.
A lot of Iraq veterans.
More in the south, south part of the United States?
No.
New York City, Washington, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Detroit.
There's like 25% unemployment.
It could easily be true.
It's almost dead.
Yeah, we lived through a period in Pittsburgh where when the mills closed, where our neighborhood was at about 40% unemployment.
Yeah,
that was pretty ugly. That was really ugly.
So we're betting on the economy that I walk your dog and you walk my dog, and everybody's going to be happy.
Mm-hmm. And, I guess that's another image for the House of Cards, really. Yeah.
then, you know, all the manufacturing jobs are gone, you know, so, I mean.
10%, 11% of the people are in manufacturing. I think it used to be like 60.
Oh. It was majority of the job labor in fact.
Yeah, I think it was, I remember 60, some sales.
We need more useless jobs for people to do. We haven't created enough.
No, that's the problem. That's the whole problem. Yeah, that is here.
No, we don't have enough jobs for people. We need more useless jobs. Well, see, here, more here, lawyers here's, and see, here, here's my, things here's that don't my, actually do anything.
Here's my way of thinking about it. What they should do is bring the cost of living in line with some kind of realistic evaluation of things. Cut the work week drastically, like, you know, even somewhat less than the European work week, and then give more people jobs so you get the same amount of work done, and you could pay them less because the cost of living is less when things are more realistically priced. But that would require a complete revamping of our whole economic system.
Yeah,
and they're still trying to revive the old one.
It'll never work. Because,
no, of course it's
in certain parts of the world, there was a push for 40 plus years to make stuff like that an engineer cost of living. And mm-hmm. It really doesn't want to work that way.
No. So they're going to push inflation now and steal our money that way, since they can't steal it by putting us into paralyzing debt.
Well, the money is just a scam. That's not, you know, mm-hmm. Government has money. Government will have a file bankruptcy. That's all it is.
Well, that's happened many times over. The governments go bankrupt. That's nothing new.
Yeah, Orange County is the
how about Iceland? How about Iceland?
Yeah, did it go away?
Argentina?
I wouldn't want to live there right now.
But did it go away? If you live there, nobody will put you away anywhere.
If you like things going on like happened in Argentina, which is starting to happen in Iceland, if you want to be, so you can't go out in the street because somebody will rob you or beat you up.
That's why you're wailing all the time.
That's why what?
Wailing all the time.
Wailing? You mean with an H or?
No. That's why you're wailing. There's nobody who can take it perfectly.
Yeah, well.
All right, Linux can save the world.
Actually, yes.
Yes, it may.
So where are we then? 2 minutes of fame. Is Byron going? Or are you going to do anything?
I haven't really done anything else. Okay. I've been playing around with the GIMP some. GIMP some?
Yes, GIMP some.
The GIMP.
Okay.
And that's about it.
Cool. Byron actually has vicariously been doing something with Linux this week, because I was messing around with the script he sent me for dumping the file system off my Egala frame.
I done the breaking the zip file.
No, actually about that. It's still going. It's now up to
capital, still running.
Oh yeah, it's up to capital Q's with 7 characters now. And
you're running a brute force.
On a zip file. Yes.
Is that like one of those where it's like it goes up like 1x2, then 1x2x3, 1x2x4? What's that called? Factorial.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is that it actually finds possible passwords, because all it's doing is generating possible passwords now. We're up to like 2,600 something of them.
So it's just making a list right now?
Yeah, it's just making a list. Right.
So every day when you get back from and work, you have passwords.
Oh, well, more than that. And the interesting thing is that it actually finds them in spurts, because we'll go back at, you know, reasonably even intervals, and sometimes it'll be like maybe 9, maybe 10, 12, but then sometimes we'll go back and it'll be like 35 or 45 and essentially the same duration of time.
Yeah, so when you get finds them in spurts.
Oh, well, then you can get another program that actually tests the passwords.
It's kind of a two-phase deal. Yeah. The first
phase so it's going to actually try to
We'll turn this list that it's making now into a library, and then it'll go through the library or dictionary.
With a script file?
Run a script and it'll test each of those.
So somehow it puts them in there.
Yeah, it'll put them in there and try to open the system.
Really? You can do that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's kind of slick.
Yeah.
No, let me tell you, I'm very determined that.
Well, it's kind of fun. I mean, I wanted to see what would happen.
It's just going through combinations of upper and lowercase letters.
Yeah, basically, you give it what you want. And we told it to do all possible combinations of lowercase, uppercase, and special characters, anything on the keyboard,
and numbers.
And basically, you give it a range, and we said the password should have between 4 and 12 characters. So it's going on.
So do you try these passwords now?
No, that's what he was just asking. It's making a list of possible passwords right
now.
And after it gets that, we can turn that into a dictionary or a library file.
This is going to be another couple months.
Oh, easily, yeah.
You can download word lists.
Yeah, well, see, that's it. Of course, we're not even sure this is going to be in English because it's a program. I did remember how I got it. But basically, what happens is it's a drum machine.
Yep.
And the people who originally made it apparently sold it to somebody else, and they're in Indians, and it uses a non-Western Indian system of rhythms to do the drum machine. That's why I'm interested in it. So the guys who originated it, nobody can find the earliest versions of it. Somebody sent me this, and I don't know why they encrypted it, and I don't remember who sent. I can't. The email I got it from doesn't exist anymore, and I can't find these people who sent it to me. And the people who actually still sell the program have glitzed it up so much that it doesn't work like the old drum machine at all. It's much busier showing you pictures of hands beating on drums, you know, with a flash animation. And that's no good for what I want to use it for. So I've got this encrypted zip file that I can read the names of the files in. Now, Byron sent me also this thing where apparently, with that much of a plain text head start, we should be able to break the password quicker. But I don't really understand that guy's instructions. I'm reading them and rereading until it becomes clear.
Yeah, I don't know if they were necessarily really just, this is how you do it, but.
Yeah, well, there's two parts to it. First of all, you have to have something that's a real text thing out of the file that you know is in there. Okay. And then you also have to create a bogus file that has a CRC sum exactly the same as the file you're trying to break. And then when you put those two pieces of information into this other AZIP, is it called? AZIP program, it somehow can use that information and come up with a crack quicker. So you actually need these two parts to it. You have to like assemble a zip file that has exactly the same CRC that the zip file that you're trying to break has.
CRC is a redundant call. What is that?
Cyclic redundancy check.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So somehow that, and it's AES encryption, so it's like, you know, 200. AES, so it's like 228 bit. But it's a bit, you know, it's a big key. I mean, it's not, it's a heavy encryption, so.
Yeah, it's not meant to be broken.
Yeah. So anyway, back to the IGALA frame. Anyway, so but your little script, all you dumped was the ETSI file, right?
I don't know if I gave you that one or
Because I'm dumping.
Another one that I'm
I was wondering how long it took to dump it, and you also only gave me the code. You didn't write it as a script. It doesn't have the bang bin shell thing and stuff like that. And the way I did it, I rewrote it to be explicit path statements just to make sure it didn't write where I didn't want it to.
Yeah, it's so,
but anyway, I was going to ask you how long it took to do it, because it's been at it for about an hour and a half. I'm dumping the entire operating system off the IGALA frame onto a USB drive so I could see what it is.
The thing that probably makes the difference is I didn't have any pictures on it when I did it.
I have very few. Yeah.
It didn't really take that long.
Oh, it's taken forever. So I think, and what you had was copy, you know, with the recursive switch, and you had it copying slash etsy slash to file system slash etsy.
Okay.
So I'm doing slash star to a dump file that I created on the USB drive. So it's taken a while. So we bailed on it after about 20 minutes or so, and it had about 47 megs copied. So now I'm figuring that there probably is about 120, 125 megs in the whole system, and I guess that's what. If it has, that's the other question halfway. Do you know if the CP command in embedded Linux has a bail for recursive loops, or is it going to get into a recursive loop with the temp file?
I didn't come across any recursive loops.
Because, I mean, I know a desktop will bail on that. It won't just keep rewriting that directory.
Yeah, I think it's the same POSIX tools, the GNU toolchain.
Okay, so it should be okay. It'll write the 120 or something megs and quit.
It should just write it out to the desktop.
Do you know if they have tar on there? I took a peek in the bin directory to see if it had tar. Well, then you can use tar. You can use tar to just write it to standard out and send it to a different directory.
Yeah, it was about the picture frame.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It
it's pretty much just a full Linux operating system. Well, the only thing is they didn't put on there was SSH. That would have been nice.
Yeah, well, actually, it has two SSH. Open ports. It has the FTP port open at 21. It has, a TCP port open at 512.
I never bothered.
514, right. Well, so,
I never bothered checking FTP, but
if you install that drop bear one.
I get two of those waters.
Okay. But it's really neat. I mean, this is kind of a neat project.
Okay.
Yeah,
that does sound
kind of
cool.
What is it?
I'm going to want another Mountain Dew.
Berlin Diet.
Wait, I'll get a reach.
One more Mountain Dew.
Okay.
It would never make an extra trip. There's an SSH.
Fireworks down your dehydrator.
Drop there.
The drop there SSH server.
Really small drop there. That's on my Nokia. Actually, that's another thing you might be interested in. We have that Nokia 770, and we bought the little Apple Bluetooth keyboard for it. Works out of the box. It's beautiful because, you know, I can put a small VNC server on it so it gets it on the screen a little bit bigger, and I can Bluetooth my little Apple keyboard, and I can just do that really nice. It's handy for, you know, using the shell because...
So that's actually Bluetooth...
Yeah, the little Apple Bluetooth keyboard. And actually, the full-size keyboard, we got both of them. We got that Rocket, what's it called? Something Rocket something?
You have the little silver one?
Yeah, the little silver Apple Bluetooth. Yeah, it's real nice, and it works just out of the box.
So if I
would
have a telephone with a Bluetooth, could I actually...
That's going to depend on what Bluetooth capabilities are on your phone.
Yeah,
Bluetooth is like a segmented thing. There's you know, it depends which Bluetooth cable.
So what's the deal with your Bluetooth?
But you can see all that too. If you get one of the Bluetooth tools on any other thing, you can do a Bluetooth scan, and it'll tell you what functions the Bluetooth has.
Most phones will tell you. In the phone status, looks like people
These laptops, are they Bluetooth capable, or you got to buy something extra?
Some of them
mine's got Bluetooth.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they're not great, but they're handy. Yeah, they have Bluetooth mouse too.
The Wii remotes, those are Bluetooth.
Oh, those are cool.
Yeah, and those are actually HID.
Yeah,
so you just plug them in.
How much did you pay? Yeah.
Actually, in the newsletter,
I'll get two more. Right?
How was your
Wii remote or whatever?
But it also reaffirmed our notion, don't bother asking salespeople at Best Buy anything, because they both basically told us neither of the keyboards would work, and they both worked with a lot less trouble than some of the things that are supposed to work.
Keyboard's not going to work. You can buy this $750. It'll definitely work a lot
better. Well, they don't get paid on commission anymore.
They don't?
No, but if they don't sell, you get fired.
Yeah, that.
Oh, so it is an indirect commission.
It's like being a salesman.
Yeah, but it is. Yeah, if you got more hot water, that'd
even
be nice.
Even Deep Squat, that's their main, one of their main, how they, you know, they...
Motivation.
My friend got fired because he was, fixing the computers, and they told him that their job isn't really to fix computers,
no,
it's to sell new computers.
Sell new computers or really expensive services.
Yeah.
And if you get too good at fixing computers, they will... get rid of you because you're costing them money.
Yeah.
I know Brusky said that at CompUSA, when he worked there, they were paid on commission, and different items had different percentages of commission. So what would happen, somebody would come in looking at cables, and everybody would drop whatever they were doing. Didn't matter what they were buying, they could be buying a $2,000 PC, drop them, go over to the cables, because you get more commission on the cables than you would on the...
margin, sure.
Yeah, there's pretty much no margins on the computers.
Yep.
So that Geek Squad is their goal is to not fix your computer?
It's to upsell you.
It's upsell. If they can sell you a computer, they will. If they can sell you, you know,
so virus they'll just tell you that yours is what?
They'll sell you virus removal, and then when that doesn't work because they don't actually know how to remove any viruses, they just have a CD. I actually have a copy of theirs. It's called MRI.
Thank you.
Their toolkit, which is basically point and click. Scan for viruses, and it automatically installs, downloads the latest updates, and runs probably 7 or 8 different virus and spyware scanners in a combination that's most likely to catch all of the viruses that were there for that particular time period, because they update this every 3 months. So, like, there's just an image file, and the Geek Squads download that for their technician purposes. And there's really, I mean, if that doesn't work, then they sell you a reinstallation of an operating system.
Yeah. Or they tell you the reinstallation is going to cost, you know, $50, but for another $50 or, you know, $100, you just get a new HP.
So these guys are not computer geniuses.
Oh, no. No.
That's what I thought they were. I thought they were the original Geek Squad.
That's what you're supposed to think, but it's not
true. Yeah.
They still work. They're the ones who make the tool, the MRI, the disk, and offer technical information. There's lots of things that they have access to if they chose to. From what I've heard, it's not ever used.
Yeah. You're better off just going to a more local store.
You're better off going
like
to
PC.
Carlos and Todd. Another thing I really should mention. Todd has reinstated me. I'm no longer banned from the EC Lug anymore. Yeah, I sent him. Actually, it's funny. For some reason, he sent me an email message asking me if he could, how do they say that, follow me on Twitter?
He did that to me too.
Yeah.
And he apparently was kinds of stuff going. He's kind of an anti-government.
Yeah, definitely. He belongs to that that libertarian, the Ron Paul spin-off thing, that Liberty Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But and he's running for office somewhere too, in Baldwin, I think, is what I've heard too. But
Todd
anyway,
is running for office?
Yeah, that's what I heard. I mean, I asked him about it, and he hasn't written back to me yet. But it.
Has he been to the meetings lately?
Not for two or three now, I think. But anyway, he says it was just a mistake. But I really haven't done any. I really haven't done or said anything on that group that I haven't said in many other groups, so I don't know why I got tossed here.
Come on, Willis. You would just enjoy the politics here.
You know that Twitter? Who uses that thing? I don't quite understand the purpose of it.
Oh, well, it's to track your friends. It's a social thing.
And people
want
to constantly know what everyone is doing and where everything is.
Now, see, what I did with it, I watched the whole public flow during the convention because it was interesting to see what people were saying when they were getting arrested.
You mean the convention in the cities?
Yeah, the cities here. It was really quite
interesting. But how do you tune into that?
Go to their website, Twitter.org. Twitter.org.
No,
Twitter.com.
Okay,
is it?
And then you can do what?
Read the instructions. It's more than I can tell you here.
It's basically just telling people what you're doing right now. It's more useful if you have like a mobile device or something that
there's
can
lots
easily.
Yeah, it's mostly people with phones.
Web
capable phones.
And it's microblog. It's supposed to be like a blog, but it's only a maximum of what, 200 characters?
142 or something.
Yeah, you put a little piece of software on your machine and then you can communicate.
No, I downloaded it, but I just don't understand kind of what it is, but I just don't see the usefulness of it.
You haven't talked
about it. So you're about 80%.
You probably wouldn't like it.
No, way too old like I am, and we don't get it.
I know, but I mean, I understand I'm old, but I still like to know what the younger generation sees in it. So I can go, hey, that's kind of cool. Even though I might not use it, I don't like to be...
Let's say like... We went to the convention, in Ohio, and you are getting with 10 people, and you are not always with them, but they are saying, oh, I'm here, I'm there, but we are going to go to this party, we are going to eat here, so you know where they are.
Like the Yahoo News group.
You subscribe to people's tweets,
yes,
and then like you can watch your phone and you'll get... every minute you'll get like, oh, your friend is at the grocery store and your other friend
You have to invite
it's sort of like a chat room. It's like a complicated chat room. You have to invite people and give permission for them to read your messages, or you can just make it totally public. Now, some people are gaming it and using it for more better purposes. There's a TV channel, 9415. Free Speech TV, and it shows on it. Okay, so you've seen Laura Flanders with Grit TV.
Watch it, it's very good.
And she'll use the Twitter stuff to publicize some of the things that she's doing, where she's going to be giving a speech or something like that.
if she's going to be giving a conference or a work group or something like that. You can use the Twitter thing to find out what her agenda is. She posts her agenda on that as though it was a tweet thing.
Okay.
So you can use it for some better purposes. But a lot of people use it to know whether their friend went to Cancun or Mandy's today and may want to go catch up with them after school.
But you've got to type in there, I'm going to the grocery
store. Oh, you do. Right.
And then it pops up on his thing. Right. Hey, Harry's at the grocery store. Right. I don't have
to
use this
shit.
You
got
it. Have you ever seen Facebook discovered?
No, I've heard that.
Here's Amanda's page on Facebook. And you can see here the status updates. This is the same sort of thing. This is what Amanda wrote last. And then each of her friends says exactly what that person is doing. Or not what that person is doing, but the last thing that they wrote on there.
Okay.
So it's just, information. It's not.
Okay.
I think it's important for a lot of people to feel that other people care.
We heard
a statistic that blew our mind lately that there's texting messages that there are people who send how many a day? It was just unbelievable.
They must be doing it
every 30 seconds. I mean, 24 hours, 24/7.
Yeah. I think it was like 10,000.
It was unbelievable. I mean, we couldn't,
A day.
Yeah. And that's so people just seem to need to be tied in with their circle,
At some point, it's kind of nice because you don't have to go through a whole phone conversation if you just want to say, I'm here.
I know, but the phone, at least there was some kind of communication going on.
So there's also plugins you can get. Like, you can have, devices Twitter themselves. Like, if you, you can have alerts set to your Twitter account. So, if your computer's overheating, your server's overheating, they'll send a tweet. And then if you're always checking your Twitter account, you'll get updates on all sorts of things.
Well, you say that your Twitter should get to your telephone. Let's say your people have services. Instead of having a good time, is their house without actually put a freeze?
Mm-hmm.
So you have a sensor. That sensor actually sends it goes to a certain level, so it just sends the Twitter to a Twitter.
I don't know that you need Twitter to do that because I have a couple devices that send me an email if they reboot. Right.
Some people have found it easy or convenient to use it as a status update. They can have everything, email notifications and other types of notifications that all are combined into one space that they can.
But that might be just you. But let's say you might be in an organization of three guys working on the same thing.
I can totally see where it's handy for certain things. But
if you know a lot of people are using it, it becomes a lot more useful.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
I think we have a lot of servers today.
It also massively hacked. There's very large security holes in Twitter. It was like a month ago, wasn't it? Obama's Twitter account was hacked.
There's been a bunch. I think Bill O'Reilly's was.
Okay, so you got to actually invite people in. It's not a, or is there a public thing too? Or
there's a public thing.
You can make it all public.
Anybody can look at it, or I have to invite you.
Well, you don't even have to have Twitter to do it. You can watch it on the webpage. There's a way you can go to a section of the webpage where the public feed is all. That's what I was looking at for the convention.
The Twitter.com public feed?
I forget what it's called. You know more about it than I do, Elliot. But there is somewhere on the webpage they have all the stuff that anybody anywhere is posting. In fact, they even have a map that
it's usually
sets up little bubbles where they're
doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's great.
I think you understand now, right?
I thought there was maybe a little more to it, and I was missing out on something, but I don't really
know.
You won't understand why it's evaluated at hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's creating the buzz and selling it, that's all. You have your own cup in here?
Yep.
Yeah, your regular here?
It's cheap. Dollar refills.
Do they have it for beer too?
It's cheaper for beer. Maybe it's not anymore, I don't know.
It's also smaller.
I did the math.
It's just slightly cheaper.
Yes.
Weird shaping, but in my brain. Cool. So we are done with the third?
I hope so.
I wonder if that's that'd be interesting. I wonder if you can get a GPS and have a subscribe to an RSS feed of tweets within 15 miles of your actual location.
That's called the Helio phone. It does that automatically.
Really?
Yeah. So unless you buy a Helio phone, unless you explicitly shut it off, it shows you anybody else within, I don't know, some radius, a considerable radius, that also has a Twitter phone. And you can send them a message and invite them to contact you. And it's all built into the phone.
That's going to be the next big thing, geolocation.
I can tell you something else interesting about Helio, is just show you how far wrong some of this stuff has got. It's actually got built-in scripts where you can, what they call beg. In other words, I assume it's for kids to send messages to their parents asking them to buy things for them, you know. Off the phone, you know, like all you have to do is punch it in, and it sends your friend list a message asking them to buy you ringtones or software for the phone, and so on and so forth.
So you're going to ask your friend to buy you
your friend, or yeah, and I guess you know the idea is that you get into a reciprocating thing. You know, they buy you some things, and you buy them some things. But I imagine most people have mom and dad at the top of their friend list. And asking them to buy them software.
You're integrating into a commune or something. Why not buy your own damn ring?
That would be an improvement.
what do you think, why the economy crumbled down? Because nobody wanted to buy anything for you.
You know why the economy crumbled down? I think because people invested all this money in the internet and think that the internet's this huge new like source of economic stimulus. But nobody on the internet pays for anything. You know what? I mean,
it's the
people don't want to pay for any subscription service. People don't want to pay for music or movies or to watch.
Not on the internet. There is a mentality that if it's on the internet, it should be free.
It should, yeah.
Yeah, there is. It really is. Unless it's something you're physically going to get.
Which is interesting. You know, let's compare it right now. So we have a Linux community, and you know, we are here that everything should be free, and then let's say like there's very similar community as far as sharing the knowledge, and it is a homebrewers community. You know, the difference is that homebrewers, they want to share knowledge, but they understand that stuff costs a little bit, and they are willing to spend a little bit of money. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between these two communities.
I don't think that's that different, really. I think that, you know, except for the, you know, meat-headed computer users, most people understand there's things that should be paid for. But there's people who know how to do things you don't know how to do. You can pay them for, you know, programming services or things that, or equipment development that you couldn't do for yourself.
Yeah.
And I think the idea that I like about the internet is that information should be free. There shouldn't be these restrictive copyrights, proprietary restrictions on software.
Exactly. Like I would pay for somebody to teach me something, or to, you know, write a piece of code for me that was specifically designed for me.
Yeah, but I don't feel like if
somebody has a large repository of some movies or music or something like that, and that money's not even going to the artist who created it or made, you know, put in any effort into it, then I'm not going to pay for it. I don't care if it's free.
Yeah. Hello? When we talk about that,
And people are becoming more and more adept at blocking out advertising. That's what most web hosters think. That's what they base their, you know, profitability of their website on. It's like they're.
When you talk about content and publishing, there was a website for books. It's called blue.com.
Yeah.
There's another site, it's called this Create Space.
Not Amazon.com.
It is from Amazon.
Yeah, looks like Amazon.
It is Amazon company. And what you can do, hang on, I'll just enable this, but you can self-publish yourself, and it is not just the books.
It is video, it's audio. You can have, let's see, you should have,
have you looked at the contract though? Do they then own
you, I just went there and it was like the same thing like conference. Yeah, there was no obligation for.
So if you become like nationally renowned, they don't get all of your profits?
No, they don't hold any copyrights for whatever you are publishing, self-publishing. So it's the same model as a cafe press means that they have certain fee for whatever you are going to publish, and they process the money, and you can actually mark up on that. So it was interesting. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I didn't see it here on the side.
So they're just taking a cut of every sale that they make?
You can say that, but also what they are doing, let's say, like, if you are going to publish DVD, so they are providing the DVD media.
They're making t-shirts.
Oh, you have a book to publish. Okay. So they are actually printed on a paper.
Okay.
So you don't actually have to worry about printing.
Do you agree to an exclusive deal with them then? Like, if you publish a book with them?
Or I think so. No, it's like self-publishing. I didn't actually read the, I just bought stuff from it, you know. But I thought it was very similar like Lulu.com. You know, you are self-publishing, so you are not writing any exclusive contracts. They get their cut, and that's it. And you say, this is my markup. That's all what it is. And they are actually banking on those eyeballs that people will come and spend, for. Let's say I bought a DVD.
I imagine there's self-advertising on the product too.
Yeah.
It comes to whoever buys it.
I bought
and most people who would buy something like that might be interested in doing that themselves.
I bought
they're
a
going
DVD
to come back to them.
Of the people who created the content on their own. I mean, it's not high quality content.
Who's that looking guy?
It's
you like that picture.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's actually so somebody created content and sold me DVD for $8. You know, and I went actually to see the breakdown, and this website took like $6 or $5 for printing, and plus then I had to pay shipping on top, so the guy got $3.
Yeah, well, which still really is not a very good deal for him. I mean,
it's not, but
at a certain point.
Let's say like
but it's better than nothing, and if that's the stage of your thing you're at.
Yeah, this was actually a guy who was talking about tasting beers, you know, about more judging beers. So it was specific content for certain things. And it's like, we are doing our thing. So, and then you have content, you just bunch it up. You do it because you like it anyway.
Right.
You know?
Well, I think that's the good thing about it. It's the otherwise material like that would never see any public exposure at all, because no company could afford to deal with those volumes.
You cannot actually sign up any of these contracts because A, if you don't have marketing behind you, you cannot do it outside. You know, so I mean it's a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm.
So just that's it.
Yeah, it is definitely useful.
Do you do anything last week?
I do interesting things every day.
Following
but,
you?
No, nothing.
You know, I have to say, I was quite impressed with the guys whatever you got doing with the websites.
Thank you.
I thought
you got some free advertising. Yeah,
this was really good. I have a development company. We don't really do much local stuff, but we do the bottom line site.
Were you in that Barstow building? Was West Wheeland part of your group ever? Is it? There used to be a web development group in that Barstow building. Wesley Wheeland.
I think
Wes was an old pal of ours from the CVFN stuff. Yeah.
I think he was in as a Linux user.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wes is a real nice guy. He was pretty busy. That's right. Last time I talked to him, was a couple of years ago. I guess. So. But he's pretty busy with his own life right now. So.
I sent him, I think, once or twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too bad he doesn't come because he's quite knowledgeable and he's a very nice guy. I really use it.
I think he's not.
If you're listening, Wes, we need you.
Not that I was talking to you, I just, you know, the people I have websites.
Probably he won't come because you can't smoke here, right? Wes, right? Is, Wes is a smoker.
You cannot be smoking anywhere.
That's right. He's a smoker. I mean, that may be what his problem is. He's in withdrawal these days or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we changed the place to drink beer, you know.
They'll outlaw that soon.
Yeah.
Back to prohibition. It's the depression again.
Good idea.
Yeah, well, people have to make money somehow. Right? Yeah, like, the only people who were making out in the Depression were the moonshiners.
Yeah,
you know?
I already learned how to make beer. So
that's right. He's all set. Out. He's thinking ahead.
You can buy it out for me. So don't tell me, don't make
it. I'm actually programming a little microcontroller. My roommate's really big in brewing. And so he's got the couple setups, you know, like two little main fridges and some stuff. And he's got a, or two, it's pronounced Quadrino.
Arduino,
whatever that's called. So we're using those to do some temperature controlling.
See, you thought,
oh, yeah.
Well, we're done.
True actually, service to humanity.
For cheaper than the Arduino, you can actually get
a yeah, that's actually what we ordered. Oh, really? Well, actually, we just ordered some, like, knockoff.
That's pretty cheap. Well, it's like $40 or $50 that you can get a thermostat with a probe. Like an extended probe that you stick in the refrigerator.
Oh yeah, we still need some of that stuff.
Turn the thermostat all the way up in the refrigerator, then you just plug it into the thermostat. So,
he actually has that right now. Okay. But we want to do some more stuff.
Yeah, that actually reminds me. I read somewhere that a P4 was originally developed to be a controller for a refrigerator.
That would have been quite a...
Did you ever think of it was actually something like
a computer? I don't know. What's a P4?
A Pentium processor. Processor. It was actually supposed to be a controller for commercial refrigerators.
Maybe an original Pentium. Yeah. I don't know about Pentium 4.
Yeah, why the hell would you want that kind of
processor?
Well, maybe it was just the
original. Maybe it's one of those with the DVD player built in. I don't know. Those always seem kind of useless to me.
Maybe it was the original Pentium. Check your refrigerator and... See if you have mail and if you don't.
You always
I wish it would do that. No, I just played DVDs.
Yeah, you always can watch the porn in the kitchen, you know? Porn and chicken.
Yeah, you're little. Some of those little refrigerators with the little windows that tell you your ice cubes are ready. You know, to watch a video on that, too.
Your ice cubes are ready.
So you got mail. You got ice cube.
Cube's done.
Does your roommate know that there is a homebrewer as well?
Oh, really? No, I don't.
There's a new homebrewer store, too.
There's a homebrewer store, too.
The moral of their lives. Bothan, is it Bothan? Bothan?
Bothan,
whatever.
Yeah, Bothan Road area. Okay. Yep.
Or 93.
Bothan Road.
Huh. I don't know. Up to a.
Corkson's. What's it called?
Caps
and Corks.
Do they actually have greens?
Yes, they
really. Down by the Harbor Freight Tools?
Further down, further south than
that. Yeah, you
know,
like
further
the
under
the street. Like an hour
drive. Yeah, you're going to get them off the internet.
Yeah, and then those are not always the precious stuff.
As well as the Menominee has a
Really?
Store.
And there's a big one I always plug because they've been useful to us for our hydroponic supplies. And it's called Midwest Supply, and it's brewing and hydroponics, and they're in. What is that called? St. Louis Park? Is that
it's
on the other side of Minneapolis? But they're a big company. And actually, the guy is from Eau Claire, the owner. Is a guy named Dave. He went to school here.
That catalog what he gave me, that's all catalog.
It may be. I was pitching the old ones.
Why am I buying these?
Well, you called them up and it was
that's
more.
That's 10 years old.
Yeah.
It's like a third of the price.
Well, we weed the collection every now and then, and I thought of you when I saw that.
Oh, thank you.
Thank
you. just tell him and.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's the same thing like here with the Linux groups. You meet the like people who are interested in the same thing what you are, and with the brewing beer, it is that you try to improve yourself. You want to know techniques, you want to know how other people are doing it, you know, and if you can exchange information, if you do it on your own, you know, you can do it too, you know, you create beer, it's called beer, but, you know, if you want to go farther, it's very helpful.
Does it have a name or like a website or anything?
It's cbbetterbrewers.com/org.
What's going on? I spaced out for a little bit here.
That's okay. You don't drink beer yet.
All right, I'm good.
I'm sure, yeah. Now we're on to beer.
Yeah, on beer. That's actually what I do.
You know the thing about your...
Media? No. It takes a long time.
Yeah, it's like 9 months.
That's why I cut my losses, and I'm saying no meat.
The thing about your burners and why they don't want them used inside is that you can't count on them not producing CO.
Yes.
And that's the thing. Even if you got it going all right, if you're going to not attend it, there's things that can happen where it'll start to create CO. And
but
that's
what's
why they don't
the difference
want to use
between
it
burning
inside.
Your natural gas on your stove?
The amount of volume in the burner. It's the size of the burner. Yeah,
stovetop burner is about less than 10,000.
Yeah, we have a pretty big one in our garage. It's some big propane tank. It's like a big 10-gallon.
You mean a turkey fryer?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yes.
Yeah,
those are, what is that one, like 50,000?
Those which you buy for turkey fryer, it's about 50,000, yes.
Yeah.
40 to 60,000.
Yeah, but see, your garage isn't your basement either, see, so.
Yes.
No, garages are usually pretty well ventilated.
And that's the thing, you get down that basement, and it's because CO is heavy, it stays down there. You walk down there, it'll put you down before you realize
what happened.
Yeah.
Get
yourself a canary like the miners, and you go down the stairs with the canary in front of you.
No, you just put the kitty litter in the basement, and you wait 20 minutes, and if the cat doesn't come out, it's hard.
You live in Manchester.
This is a cool bunch of people.
So these people meet in Eau Claire?
Yes. Next meeting is here we have it.
Yeah.
Next meeting is on
March 21.
I don't got those three corners.
7 people. We're called the Catholic Park.
Did they drink all that beer that's on the table?
No, that was a competition.
Who could drink more beer?
And there's actually four there too.
Nice. Yeah, that's good. That's really cool.
It just got started.
Mm-hmm.
So we can go there. The Menominee Forum is more active.
Okay.
You know, they've been. I think Eau Claire Club is longer standing, but the Menominee Club, as far as the forum, is more active. So,
okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, bigger Frank and Lennox, like we want to try and do some of these microcontrollers that are. Also do some like touch screen displays. That's kind of his plan or my plan. Yeah, for just fun monitoring of graphs and like temperature control and not super familiar.
Graphs.
Yeah.
Those aren't really microcontrollers, are they?
Yes, they are. They're fully programmable microcontrollers. Sorry, we're gonna look into. They're actually very cool.
Yeah.
That you're running Linux on.
What'd you say?
That you're running Linux on. Because there was just that article, they were talking about that they just were working on getting Linux up and running.
I don't know if
I'm not really sure. Maybe it's not.
I don't think they run and operate.
Yeah.
Is that that 8088 processor? Is that what that is? Or?
No, it's the.
What's the whole thing called? What's the name of it?
Arduino.
Arduino. ARDUINO. It's an open source electronics prototyping platform.
I never heard of it. It sounds kind of interesting. That's kind of what I'm into.
You can buy different models that one of them has
that's microcontroller, right?
Is this what it
has
is?
Like a full IP stack.
Yeah, it's got a full IP stack. It's got a USB interface. You don't have to like deal with
it.
No.
It looks at it, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what it is.
What is that?
It's got like a C-like programming language.
You know, there's another thing. They call it gumsticks.
Yeah, I've heard of those. I don't know.
It's about $200 module.
It's like
that you can buy different. I mean, you have your base module,
mm-hmm.
and then you can buy also like GPS module.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
They stack.
I'm not sure how
yes, they actually fly together.
Mm-hmm. There was something else.
Yeah,
called the stamp.
What do you program in this thing?
Was there
it
another?
Looks like they have their own language is similar to C++.
It's kind of C.
Yeah.
It connects to a PC, and then you program it with a PC, and then. You can put it, once you have it fully functional, you can put it out in service.
Mm-hmm.
And
what does that thing cost? I mean, just...
Well, I think the official one right here is about 60, but the cool thing is, like, since it is open source, like, there's other people that, like, have the hardware they flash their own, so we picked up two of them for, like, $15 each or something.
Where did you pick it up?
Some other websites.
Is
there's
that...
also a website called sparkfun.com.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, they sell this thing?
Yeah, I think they sell them.
So that's their own microcontroller?
You can actually buy the designs, or you can buy it pre-put together.
Yeah, who actually makes that chip? Is that them?
The microcontroller?
Yeah, the actual, not the board, but the...
IC chip?
Yeah, the IC itself, or the controller. I think it almost looks like the Atmel symbol, but maybe not.
I'm talking to a guy who's working.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I'm holding on here.
ATM.
HOIC.
That's kind of neat, though. I gotta take a look at that.
Yeah, those are pretty popular in doing stuff.
And the development software is all
open source? It's all open source, yeah. I think the whole design is open source.
Wow.
I'm not really that familiar with like embedded type stuff.
Okay.
What can be built?
Both him and I do some. It's the 18 mega what? 168.
Okay, so that's the one of their bigger chips.
I've ordered from them before.
Yeah, they sell the official one, and there's lots of other random sites you can buy.
Wow, gee, thanks for
coming out. Made in Italy.
Ah.
Good.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff is made elsewhere.
What do we need to make anything?
So if it's a mega, you can just kind
of just walk each other dogs.
There's actually a GCC version that will write code directly for that chip.
Yeah, I think it has that architecture or whatever.
AVR GCC.
Yeah, if you want to do that too.
Or it's gonna be built by hand or purchased. Mm-hmm.
That's what I showed you.
I wasn't listening.
You know, my son of here, you know.
Hey,
our
life too, probably.
Yeah,
they
shake their hands.
So I don't know if anybody's interested, but my employer's just started got a contract with a local Wisconsin laser etching. And I think they're
CNC machine shop type thing.
I don't know if it's CNC.
Well, it must be if it's laser, right?
I don't know.
Okay, just gotta hold the laser and.
Yeah, it's something along those lines, but it's very reasonable pricing if anybody's.
You can get your monitor etched.
Yeah. You can get the Ubuntu symbol. The Ubuntu symbol right in the middle.
Static image. I think that's a great idea.
Then you don't need to have it on your background. You don't have to learn to use it.
So he's ready to flare?
No, it's about a week turnaround time that I think they have to ship it.
Okay.
Unless you wanted to go there. But they sound like they're very, very reasonable.
Where are they?
They're close. I don't know. I'm not sure where they are.
Okay.
Specifically. But
I don't have any news right now.
A logo about this size, fairly detailed, was $12. And they will do the begin because most places require like a fee.
Setup fee.
They have no setup fee.
Oh wow.
Boy, I don't know how you can even make a goal of it.
You can actually edge your Fedora logo on your butt. Just into the heart with it for all week.
Isn't there like an open source like CNC type software out there or that?
I know there is. I've never seen
like people build like their own machines and like
there are because those Sherline mills? If they come with the full computerized control. They come with a version of Linux and an open source CAD package. That's what their computer comes with. So you can actually download that distribution and install it. So it's some open source piece of software I just never looked at.
Yeah, it all runs G code, they call it. I don't know how you call it. Wow, that was interesting.
How are you doing?
Oh, just
one bit.
I've been playing with Joomla.
Joomla?
Yeah. Trying to rebuild a site.
Talk to Brian.
You don't like Joomla? Well, it started off as a Joomla site, and I don't know if you're putting a lot of effort into it.
Sure, yeah. It does what you want.
Well, of those base things, which one do you like the best? There's like Joomla, Drupal's similar, right? Drupal's better?
Best for extensibility. But I mean,
This is what I tell you from the user perspective. Okay.
Yeah, because you were using the same thing.
I don't want to write it. You know, so for me,
you use Mambo.
I use Mambo.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean,
and it's just fine.
If it does what you want it to, like.
What would you say is the best for less of a dynamic content type site, and more of a somewhat dynamic content, but more of like a just a homepage for WordPress? WordPress
could do well.
But WordPress, well, I thought WordPress was you. It was harder to get benefits from WordPress.
I'm looking for that maybe piece of software.
Well, your one's actually really nice.
Routers or
templates and redo them right through like the back end. But,
yeah, you can do that with.
I mean, yeah, I didn't call it. Yeah, sure.
The WordPress actually had the optional thing working on called Joomla and Mambo. WordPress is also
Joomla.
Yeah, it's just the answer.
The piece solves well.
You might have a faster development life cycle.
Is WordPress as comprehensive? I mean, as far as like from Joomla, they handle a lot of.
No, I think right. WordPress is pretty much straightforward.
It's more for blogging. Like, I mean, they're not bad, like Drupal Joomla, they're not bad, it's just Joomla specifically, like, it's very difficult to extend if you want something really specific that plugins.
If you do the magic, what they've done, you know, that's great, you know. You are right, if you want to extend, probably, a lot of people do Drupal as a backend, and then they just write the front end.
Yeah, actually, a lot of it was actually at a conference, and that's where a couple sites they would use. Drupal for all their back-end content management, but they would write pretty much from scratch the front-end that would interface with the database and all that stuff. But, Joomla's fine, Mambo's fine, and it does what you want. I mean, it does a job, it's a good CMS.
I mean, they used to write everything in PHP by hand, so.
I'm not looking into this.
Just to back up a bit, the name of that piece of software is EMC.
Oh, okay.
LinuxCNC.org has like all the information about that.
Is it EMC? CNC.
Actually, their software is EMC.
Yeah, but there's a thing, welcome to LinuxCNC.org.
LinuxCNC is his website.
So there's a whole group of guys doing CNC stuff on
right.
with Linux.
Yep, at first. Yep, those Sherline Mills come with a distro of Linux right on it with that piece of software.
Yeah, I have a question. If in here, I'll close the tab. That's if in the Opera, I close the tab.
You close a tab.
No tab.
What?
If I close the tab. So here I have this guy open.
Yep, and you close
and
it.
I close it.
And you want it back?
Yes.
Little trash can.
This one?
Yep, click on it. There it is.
Oh.
Hey, now that's kind of cool.
Because in Firefox, actually, if I close the tab, then it is it's here, which I probably have to write it on it. It tells me undo close tab.
Yep.
And I close the tab in the Opera by accident. I had an article there. He's like, okay, how do I open
yeah,
it?
So
I
was also, in the history,
yeah,
I think
it's too
obvious. I think it's Firefox that. In their history, don't they have a section recently closed tabs too? Isn't it?
They're awesome.
Yeah. I think if you look in history, it says recently closed, and there's a list in there too. So you can
another question: is there a place in Opera you can turn off Flash plugin
if you hit F12 and just turn off enable plugins?
You can't just turn off Flash though. You just got to enable all or
well, you can uninstall the Flash plugin.
No, I mean just something real quick because I got all these little things in the background running and they all take computer power. All that Flash bullshit.
Well, you can uninstall the Flash plugin and then install it again if you want it.
I was thinking for something a little bit simpler. You know, like just a knob on the front of the computer you turn.
You want to push button
here to like.
Well, you want like a big button where you have to pop up the safety too?
Yeah, way too long.
There were some things that you could get. It was little, what were those? There were little applet things that you could put And there were buttons that would like kill Flash or something. Like there were like little applets that you could run by clicking on.
I think that was
in Netscape or something that they had that, but that's Mozilla, so it might work in Firefox. But there were these, what were those things called? But it was, you basically set it up as a bookmark, and if you clicked on it, it ran a little script.
Oh, like a scriptlet.
Yeah, a scriptlet, or so. I think that's what it was called.
Just
a
JavaScript code.
Yeah, and you could kill Java, you could kill Flash, you could kill all animations. There were a few things, and it was just, you know, for whatever was currently operating.
And then you show me what the passwords are.
Here's another trick, too. It's kind of a dirty trick, but you can do it. If you open up the system monitor and you find the Opera plugin wrapper,
yeah,
and you right click on it, you can pause it.
Oh, you can pause that.
Now the plugins ain't going anywhere.
Okay, because I always just killed it or got rid of it.
Yeah, if you stop it, it actually pauses the process. So you can pause any process on your PC.
But you could still go back and use Opera now.
Yeah.
It's just
that now their plugin is
just, it's just static page forever.
Yep.
Well, is that essentially what that that little thing that that he's doing when you enable and disable?
I think that's going through Firefox.
Yes, it's Firefox plugin.
What? No script?
That's
a JavaScript.
No script is.
It's turning the JavaScript off, and most of the Flash plugin are actually through the JavaScript.
Right. Like, yeah.
Okay.
The other thing that you can do is if you right click and go to
Opera.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you go to block content, you can just block the
actual Flash advertisement.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
If it's only for specific sites, if there is a lot of sites that you want to get rid of specific aspects that you view a lot, there's a product, it's called Grease Monkey.
Okay.
That's but you can also write your own where you can either get rid of a certain, you know, a box that contains an ad, or you can replace it with an image, or you can just.
It's basically just JavaScripts that run automatically that when you link it down.
When you run that page.
On that website, you know.
Okay. Yeah, that's another good idea.
So, what was this wheel?
No, I was just.
That's like.
He wants a big lever of it. like a slot machine that kills all Flash.
Yeah,
something he can weld on there.
Yeah, yeah. Something with tactile feedback.
Yeah. That would be a big hammerhead.
You know, they call it actually Russian wrench.
Russian wrench.
Yeah.
I thought that was a trick.
You know, with your work with electronics, you should be able to create a little panel that's got all these like kill switches and levers on it. And you can put that right on the front, and you can
put it up.
You can have like a flash button, you press it, like a big push button or something, and you can have a little lever that you have to push.
Or you can have like something that you have to close the circuit, so that it would be your Flash plug-in.
Put a little slider for your CPU power. You know, you can just put it all the way up.
Well, that's not so funny. The early AutoCAD stuff literally had a dongle that you had to stick into your serial port.
That was like the serial. That was
encryption.
With a lever. Dongle with a lever.
What was it? It was like $10,000 or something.
Oh, they were ridiculous.
For what?
The AutoCAD, thing that you needed to make the program run.
You need to buy the program.
To buy it, to run it. When you had it on your computer, you had to attach this thing to your serial port, or it wouldn't run.
It was a little piece of hardware that it
was.
Yeah, I remember those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Ards has still got those on some of the PCs in the store for the 2020 kitchen designer.
And the fun part is that you don't have a lot of serial ports on these modern computers.
Oh, that one plugged into the parallel port.
Oh, well. Parallel.
Yeah, big one.
Wow. Because you want the SD?
Oh, it's bigger. It's bigger, so.
God,
it's
more
important. I'm sure it costs more money.
All kinds of free CAD stuff that's 10 times better than any of that stuff.
Sure, of course.
That's interesting.
Cool. Is that it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, then I didn't do anything. I did do a newsletter.
You did a newsletter. Hell, that's got to be.
You had so much free time. Why didn't you send a newsletter out on Sunday?
Actually, you know that I do it on Monday. It screws my time.
Oh.
Then on Wednesday.
Do it Sunday.
Then on, oh,
that would be better for me.
Can't do it on Sunday. That's why I draw the line. Black grass, running around.
I guess spend some time with
the kids. Daddy, what are you doing?
Yeah, boy, you don't get back down, the kids are all.
Yeah. And, so.
Well, when they grow up, you can have them do the new stuff.
You think so?
Absolutely. What are kids for?
You can
the lawn in the newsletter, what else?
So,
cool.
You have another discussion about something?
No, I think we're ready to roll the ball, aren't we, in the newsletter?
One thing I did forget, I have the 10 alpha installed of Opera.
Yeah.
It's nothing extra special, it just...
You mean the latest and greatest Opera version?
Yeah, this is actually the alpha of the next version, yeah.
You really want to be burned.
Yeah, it's fairly stable, except for their mail. The mail tends to crash a bit.
Is the mail any better than the mail on the latest, whatever I've got?
Yeah, it is, actually. That's why I installed it. It does
is
let...
Is the mail any better than the female?
Nah.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Sorry.
It's got inline spell checking, and you can also do full HTML email.
Okay, so a couple
features, yeah. It's supposed to be significantly faster at rendering pages. I don't know, it was already pretty fast, so.
Yeah, I never had a problem with that stuff.
Cool. I think I saw that there was a release, an alpha release that I was saying, well, it's alpha.
It's a little unstable, but I can put up with it. And I always have that many tabs open, and it's not a lot of tabs. No, I haven't gotten to four levels deep yet.
You know, my son closed my browser.
Uh-oh.
And all of my tabs disappeared. So
well, if you had Opera, you wouldn't have had that problem. All the tabs would have came back and would have taken 45 minutes to start up.
Well, I thought Mozilla does that.
It does, but if you have the second instance open and you close the first one and the second one, it'll actually wipe your cache because it saved the last instance.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying.
So that's
why if you have two
options. Well, you
two
can tell it to always save your history.
It is in a history, but history is not whatever was open.
Yeah, then you got to go through the history and, okay, was this open or not?
It remembers when you opened it the first time, or when you accessed it, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you just had it like that and actually didn't access it, you didn't refer to the page, it remembers only whatever was in the cache. Mm-hmm.
One thing I'd really like to play around with, and I just haven't gotten the chance to get to it, is the session. Opera. You can open up a whole bunch of tabs and you can save it as a session. And then you can, you know, close your tabs, whatever, and then you can go back to that session at any point.
You know, there was a tool, some kind of tool that you could save the pages, the dynamic pages, and then it was like a reference tool, because pages are changing.
Mm-hmm.
So then you could actually go on and you could say, oh, I saw it here, and you could go to your reference. Actually, you wouldn't have that dynamic page cache somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's probably on the website somewhere here. Mm-hmm. So, there was some author, some book author who was talking about that. So that's already going to be. Never mind. Shall we go on newsletter?
Can't wait.
Please. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. There was news about VMware that they ship open source Linux VDI client.
Virtual desktop.
Yep. I don't know exactly what it is. Quite a good client. There was in one of the articles there was hardware with it. So there was the hardware. So, first, what I thought it was actually the their player, but then they were talking about this, so I'm a little confused actually what happened. Can I run the client somewhere else?
I think it's basically like a player for remote. Or, well, players really. Like a viewer for,
yes.
Kind of like a VNC.
It's like a dumb term real quick.
Yeah.
With a little address.
So that was actually big news at the time when it came up. Was it that big? I don't know.
I think basically it just was a copy of a image that That's on the server.
Oh.
It runs the processing.
There was a MySQL founder, Lin Sun. Apparently, they had some kind of if somebody would buy my company for $1 billion, even though I would own only 20% share of it, or maybe 10% share of it, that would be still nice chunk of change. And if I don't like something, I can leave right away. And I guess there was something issue with 5M1, and I don't know exactly what he wants to do. And I didn't read the article too much, but he's setting up some other company.
Yeah. So I was pretty much just saying 5.1 was like ready for production use, and it wasn't whatsoever.
Yeah.
There were a lot of pretty critical bugs, like really simple, like it wouldn't limit correctly or like use very simple things correctly.
And they claimed to have that it was a solid release.
Well, that's what when you are more involved in the business cycle. Yeah, that's what it is. So, do we know what he's going to do?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Probably just an open source company. Maybe we'll drizzle a little bit.
I don't think that they're talking about Chris. I think it's the other guy who was doing this.
Right, Brian Aker.
Yeah, I think that he was actually originator of the Chris.
Yeah, he is.
Drizzle another.
It's kind of a light.
Yes.
It's kind of stripped down MySQL, more optimized toward current web technologies.
Yep. And he's somewhere in Finland, I think.
Okay.
So I think that he's going to buy a better furnace and enjoy himself. And there was some kind of I didn't know that Confi's community is split to two different projects, but there was news that they are merging together.
Confi's was always a split off from Barrel.
Confi's was the original one, then Barrel split up, and then they merged.
I thought Barrel was.
Excuse me. Barrel merged back, and Confi's Fusion.
Yeah.
And here I read that they split again, and they created something with the name something with a T. Nomad.
And then
Nomad.
There's also somebody like changed over a bunch of the stuff to work in C++ instead of C, and that's a different branch, and blah, 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 blah.
Big mess. Like, it's really
huge. Yeah, it actually very works.
Nobody maintains it.
Yeah,
it's never worked like terribly well.
Standards are different.
The big problem is video card drivers are so inconsistent from PC to PC that you can't do anything like that with any consistency.
So yeah. How let's say the higher up is doing with our friendly company of Microsoft.
The drivers are more consistent. At least they have the DirectX interface that all the drivers support.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.
And the X system.